Hallelujah. Is that scripture coming alive to you more? Can you do ministry without the anointing? What's ministry without the anointing? Powerless ministry. What is preaching without the anointing? Lectures. Giving lectures. What is singing without the anointing? Entertainment. What is follow up without the anointing? Gisting. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for a fresh anointing of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. We can get so arrogant because we speak in tongues. We get very arrogant. We begin to depend on us. Ministry is not you. Ministry is the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, wait. It's not scriptures. It's not knowledge. Wait. Hallelujah. Acts, Isaiah. You know, I've said Acts 10 many times. You didn't notice. Isaiah 10:27. Shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. And then we said the anointing there, definitely because of the specific article, again is an in Christ revelation to us, because Jesus is the anointed one. Hallelujah. He is the anointed one. Now, we carry on the ministry of the anointed one. And I'm going to show you something in a moment. And I'm this is a very practical teaching, because I'm steering the teaching in direction of some people. And I just pray that you will not doze off in the midst of it, because this is specialized. I don't know if you know that this WCC is really to you. It's not general. You notice that, right? Good. That's why you must pay attention now. You must pay attention. And the teaching is really for those who are here. That's the difference. Those who are here. You know, we are very, very arrogant in our generation. Because we have access to so much, we despise everything. There are lands where they don't have Bibles, we don't read our own. There are places where they don't allow people to worship, we don't go to church. Is it not funny? We don't go to church. And there are places, you know, where they don't allow them to even worship, and yet, imagine the revival going on in Iraq right now, in Afghanistan. You know, the soldiers that were sent from America, a lot of the Christians, they went there to start churches. Told of a friend of ours, someone I know, not close to me, but acquainted with, who, you know, as a soldier, will go to war and hold crusades. Open blind eyes. Stop deaf ears. Cause the dumb to speak, the lame to walk. You're going to be here next year. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You'll be here next year. Now, pulpit is not so free. Hope you know that. It's not Rome. The church in Rome was the freest. It is Antioch. Amen. It's Antioch. Paul, Barnabas, Peter is a visitor. So when the visitor tries to rearrange the furniture in the house, you send him out. Hallelujah. Some people are very free. They're very, very free. Anybody, anywhere, anything can happen there. Not here. Hallelujah. Because of the anointing. So listen very, very well. Acts 10:38. In reference to Jesus, we said Jesus did not start ministry until he was anointed. And the message of Jesus started from what point? Was it from his virgin birth? From what? From what? After the baptism with John preached. That is what is the most relevant information for us. The anointing. That shows you that the issue about Jesus really is the anointing of the Spirit. That's the point. The anointing of the Spirit. And I showed you again in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3 and 4 how that the gospel was confirmed by the Lord. Now, when the gospel was spoken by the Lord, the anointed one, who began to preach after he was anointed. Now, when he now died, it was now confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God now bearing them witness with signs, wonders, diverse miracles, and distributions of the Holy Spirit in the anointing upon, the anointing within, and the anointing without. Now, listen well. That shows you the gospel is meant to be confirmed. It's not meant to be argued. It's not meant to be merely discussed. The gospel is a message that is with and definitely requires confirmation. Now, we saw in Acts 10:38 how God, that's the message, how God. So, the message that we teach in the epistle, everything you see in the epistles, everything taught by the apostles, is all about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You hear in Christ, to them that are in Christ, in the anointed one. Everything is about the anointing of the Spirit. That is why Christianity is not strength, it's not effort. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not strength. It's not effort. It's not how much you put into it. That's what, even when Paul said, I've labored more abundantly than all the apostles, 1 Corinthians 15:10, he said, yet not I, but the grace of God that is with me. So he wasn't just talking about it. Yes, he labored, but he acknowledged the work of the Holy Spirit in the labor. We must not get arrogant. Hallelujah. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So the issue about the anointing of the Spirit, brother, is power. And with power. You know, the way we read it is God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and anointed him with power. No. He anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and Jesus with power, the power of the Holy Ghost, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. God is with me. Great. Now, we want to look, you know, yesterday we looked at something last night, and I want to press further now. Should we press further? Sure? Are you sure you'll stay alert? We want to look at tangible power. You know, you can imagine talking about, you are saying power, power. And you say, there is power in this place now. I'm talking about physical power. John G. Lake said something. He said, electricity is the power of God in the natural. That the way we see electricity, you know, electricity is tangible too. I know it is. I was in Form 1. And a senior of mine said, oh no, come here. And I came. Without thinking, he said I should check whether the water was hot and it was boiling inside. I was not thinking. I just went boom. I was lifted by the power of God. Do you understand? He said, okay, go now. Okay, wow. That was body house for you. Now, power is tangible. What did I say? I want to move some of you now to the next level. Power is tangible. Amen. With power. You know, Jesus is the anointing on Jesus that demonstrated that power. It was not power, imaginary power. It was not just power. It was real power. And with power. If you have a pen there, add tangible power. And with tangible power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now hold that statement and let's do a review of something we said. Acts chapter 2. Listen very well. Acts 2. Now remember, Jesus asked them to wait in Jerusalem for what? The anointing of the Spirit within, upon, and without. Don't forget that. He asked them to wait for the anointing of the Spirit within, upon, and without. And that was what happened in Acts 2. But interestingly, we are still fighting over tongues. We are still discussing whether they spoke in different languages. Whether they spoke Ijebu, they spoke Oshogo, they spoke Igbo. You know, we are still, you know, God help us. I've taught it for several years, and in Acts 2, the language those guys had was Jewish. Because everybody in Acts 2 were Jews. It's clear. You don't need, you need the Holy Ghost, but you don't really need too much Holy Ghost to see that. Somebody said that the Bible is so simple, you need somebody to help you misunderstand it. Now, that happened in Acts 2. Now, Peter now lifted up his voice with 11 and he made a statement. I told you, ministry is in prophecy. Don't forget that. Ministry is in prophecy. For instance, when I say, he went up on high, let the capture, and Jesus gave gifts to men, he gave apostles. It was already spoken by David in Psalm 68. And the beginning of Psalm 68 was, God arise, and his enemies scattered. And when he now said that he will ascend, and now give gifts unto men. So the scattering of those enemies, and they are not human beings anyway, things militating against humanity will be by the gifts of God in humanity, the ministry gifts. So ministry is in prophecy. Under the Old Testament, we will see the prophecy concerning ministry. Now, Peter, now by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, I told that word of knowledge, now said, it shall come to pass in the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out of my spirit. The last days does not refer to calendar days. It's referring to a dispensation. See, in the last days, there will be false prophets. False prophets will not precede real prophets. They will proceed after. They are counterfeits. False means counterfeit. Am I right? Now, how many of you have ever seen a counterfeit 500 naira note before? You've seen it before. Good. Now, how many of you have seen a counterfeit 5,000 naira note before? Do you know if you make a counterfeit 5,000 naira note, you are wasting your time? It won't deceive even a fool. You know why? Why wouldn't it deceive anybody? Why wouldn't it deceive anybody? Because there is no original 5,000 naira note. That tells you that counterfeit is a product of people that have seen the original. There must have been the original in place for you to have a counterfeit. So when people are preaching all over the place, false prophets shall arise. That's not what God said. God said that he will pour out of his spirit upon all flesh. Now, the devil will try to counterfeit that. Now, if I see a counterfeit, that means there is the original. If I see a counterfeit lying wonders, a lying wonder, that means there are real wonders. Let me see if you're getting what I'm saying here. So don't let anybody manipulate you by saying that he's false prophet, oh, he's false prophet, oh, he's false prophet, oh. Those people are jobless. They don't have anything to do. Truth of the matter is this. The Church of Jesus Christ is a glorious one. Hallelujah. So, to have a counterfeit, there is the original. And the original is here. You are original. Hallelujah. You are original. Very, very, very original. Very, very original. Glory to God. There's a certain fellow on television. With due respect, a lot of preachers always talk about the guy. I call it joblessness. And the guy is now producing a lot of nine wonders, as it were, accordingly. And they are talking about him often and often. I say, the answer is not talking about him. The answer is showing people the original. When they see counterfeit and original, they will know the difference. So, you know what Elijah said? Elijah said, look, there's no point, there's no need to do a series on this one. He said, we're not doing a seminar on this. He said, you know what? You will call your God. We need fire here. I will do my own. They started. He said, you start first. That means, number one, he did something to them. You start first. And he began. And all that. The Archbishop of Idahosa had one guy, said he was a witch. Said he's a wizard. He now went to me. The guy said he's a wizard, he's blah, 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 blah. They had come initially to Nigeria. Said they wanted to come and hold all witches conference in Nigeria. They now went on air and said it, announced it. Abishop Ben Nelson went on TV and said, they now said in their advert that even God cannot stop them. Abishop said that, God, come down to stop when I'm here. He said, I am saying, I'm not praying about it, so you cannot hold that meeting here. They did not. I know some brethren will have gone to pray and say, this last day, see witches. They are even holding meeting. Now went to another place. The guy said it was a witch. And I said, I want to ask you, are you a witch? Answer me! Tell me you are a witch. I will say, suffer not a witch to live. You say, tell me you are a witch. The guy could not say he was a witch anymore. There's no point arguing. They are saying, no, actually the thing is, he's deceiving the elect. He's deceiving the elect. Elect come. Election. So when they see power of God on TV, you know, a lot of Christian dome now, anything power of God, they think is counterfeit. Is manipulation. Yet, people in their churches go to those counterfeit places to receive healing. We are original. We are original. The same spirit that rested on Jesus rests on me. You are not bold, have you? Get up and say it confidently. You are not saying like I want you to say it. Say it loud and clear. Say, I am original. Sit down. Say that you should be confident about that. Now listen. Listen very well. For there to be a counterfeit, there is an original. Don't forget that. Now, I said tangible power. Now Acts 2, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Now, listen very well. And listen clearly. You received salvation as a result of the outpouring of the Spirit. Because the reason for the outpouring of the Spirit upon all flesh is what? Whosoever shall call upon the name of... You know, we read that. Shall be saved. That is how you received salvation. And that scripture is another Christocentric scripture. He that believes in me, he said, out of his belly, talking about Jesus, shall flow rivers of living water. So the presence of the Holy Spirit is the presence of Jesus in every one of us. So the outpouring of the Spirit is from the church to the world. Now when the world receives it, they are added to the church. That's the essence of Matthew 28 and Mark 16. Is that clear to all of us? Now listen to what I'm going to say. That intelligent. Listen very well. That means the fellow that preached to you. Do you know that from that point, it was people. That's why in Acts 10, Angels did not do it. Jesus did not do it to Paul. He sent men. He sent men. Because the outpouring of the Spirit is from men to men. Listen well. So the fellow who preached to you walked in that outpouring to the degree of his knowledge and consciousness. To the degree of his knowledge and his consciousness. Of course, consciousness will flow from knowledge. Take those words, don't forget it. The outpouring of the Spirit is from the church to the world. And the end product is salvation. Verse 21. Shall come to pass, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the first outpouring we saw it was Peter to the Jews. And they said, what shall we do? And thousands were added to the church. That was the outpouring of the Spirit. Which people call the latter rain. For the last days. The last days began on the day of Pentecost. Now, listen well. The Great Commission is the vision of the church. I will take a few minutes and address some funny thinking which you must have come across, or you yourself even have, or you have taught people. The Great Commission, Matthew 6, 28 and Mark 16, is the vision of the church. Remember that song we used to sing? There is a redeemer. Let's sing it together. Don't stand up. There is a redeemer. Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, the Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son. Stop there. He gave us his Son, right? That is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, the rest. Giving us your Spirit, your work on earth is done. Giving us. Actually, the writer said, leaving. Which is also correct. Leaving your Spirit, your work on earth is done. What do you think the work of God could be on the earth? The salvation of souls. Giving us your Spirit till your work on earth is done. So the outpouring of the Spirit is for salvation. From the church to the world. And I said, we walk in it by preaching and by teaching. The Great Commission is the vision of the church. Let me say a few funny beliefs. Do you know some people believe that in Mark 16, Jesus was talking to the apostles? That's what he said. The people who believe that. That he was talking to the apostles. That only the apostles are to preach the gospel to us. Now, let's read it together. Mark 16. That the signs are for the apostles. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to who? To who? Great. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Now, verse 17. Are you verse 17? And these signs shall follow you when you preach. These signs shall follow who? That means those that receive the gospel. These signs shall. He is saying that these signs shall follow you when you believe that you are supposed to preach. No. Like I said to you yesterday, I told one of them, where is the apostle? I said, did one of them preach to you? Which one of them preached to you? Matthew, No. Those are statements of laziness. Lack of wanting, not wanting to be committed to the anointing of God's Spirit. Not wanting to be committed to work. It's as good as saying in John 16, when Jesus said that, I'll send to you another comforter. I was talking again to the 12. Who will dwell with you? I was talking to the 12. When he said in my father's house, I go to pray in place for you. Since it was only those guys that were there, he was talking to them. To which one did he say to us? Nothing. When he said, except the man be born again, cannot see, he was talking to them. Since they were the ones that were there, he was talking to them. I am the vine, you are the branches. He was talking to them. So which one did we receive? None. It's whatever they now tell us. So we are supposed to be talking about them. So. Some things are too simple. Brother Hagin will say, really, if a guy should have half brain and one eye, he should understand this one. It's so simple. Even fools know this. He was not talking to them. The them, if he was talking to them, refers to you and I. Now, the Great Commission is for the church. Listen carefully. We're talking, don't forget our focus is on tangible power. It's for the church. The Great Commission is for the church. Every one of God's children in the church is involved in the Great Commission. What we call the Great Commission. That is what He committed to us. I told you, Jesus said, go. You are saying, come, Lord Jesus. Because your mind is empty. Say, come, come, come. When will Jesus even come, sir? When will He come for us? He's not coming. He has come. He said, that ourselves. He said, no man knows. Not even the Son of Man. So, bone that side. Bone that side. Leave that side. You know, if you tell people that Jesus is coming on Thursday, and I want to make heaven, come here. If my, a big man of God, you say, I say, you will pray till he comes. No, people will pray. That if you don't, you'll miss heaven. You know? No, there was a time when I was in secondary school that Jesus was coming one year like that, one day like that. If you see our staff, that he was full of Muslims, funny guy, everybody just showed up. That's how they read me. We now began to sing. We sang, we did praise, worship, praise and torture, everything. Hours and hours and hours. Whether Jesus slept up, I don't know. That was 12:05. We just started going. Because as I told you, Jesus is coming soon is not the gospel. Nobody sent you to be preaching that. That's your own message. It is Jesus has come. That's the gospel. It's not Jesus is coming. That is what is called is coming. No, it's coming is 419. That means you want to swindle people. Go and preach he has come. Is that not the message? That one is a rapture. If you don't give your life to Christ, he will just come and you will not go. That is coming. Don't shakala the guy. He has come for him. And he has died for him. Jesus died in his place. Don't bobo him. I know many of you got born again on that platform. Don't worry, God will use anything. Just make sure that you hear. You say, I'm bobo-bye. You know, I want bunny hair and distant thunder and all those Mark 5 and all that. It's okay. So saying Jesus is coming soon is not the gospel. That is your own message. He has come. That is the message you preach. You say, we're not even hearing good message again. People are no longer talking about rapture, about heaven. We're not supposed to also talk about heaven. We're supposed to talk about the earth. Not heaven. Heaven is for dead people. I hope you know. You don't know. Do you want to go to heaven now? You know how to get there. Which bus will you take? D-E-A-T-H. By the way, it's supposed to talk about the earth. Because it sent us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature on the earth. The gospel is centered towards the earth. It's focused towards people on the earth. So these are funny, funny things we put all over the place. And you say, Jesus is coming soon. Is that a message? So do you know the time is going to come? I'm not sure. But I'm sure by next month. So there was somebody who said, Jesus said he's coming in 1996. That look, whether we like it or not. That he wanted to come, was on his way, and he said that the church was not ready. He now said that he's coming, whether we are ready or not, And as he was saying it, even Barnabas. Men that I respect, they were just saying, I just lost respect for a guy, finally. Who fumbled it? They didn't know cheap people. Oh, zero. Whenever people start talking like that, Jesus coming screaming, so watch it, they are nearer to death. Lie. Do you know, I've observed a lot of preachers like that, whenever they are getting old, and they now say, he's coming. Why didn't you preach this 40 years ago? Why are you now saying he's coming, since you are going? Really? What is the point? Now, getting back to this. So the message is the anointing on Jesus. That anointing on Jesus, why we call him the Christ, the Christos, the Meshach, the one anointed, the one consecrated by the Holy Ghost. Now, we have seen something about the anointing. It's called power. Tangible power. Now look at Mark 16. They shall lay hands on the sick. I just took that out. Those that believe the gospel shall lay hands on the sick. Hallelujah. That means there is a commission for my hands. My hands have work. Hallelujah. Do you know that our mouth was not created primarily for eating? Do you know? Now, let me tell you. Do you know that? Now, what do you use your mouth to do? Two basic things you know. At least the ones you know. To speak and to eat. Now, really, to gist, to talk. To say anything, really. And then to release and to ingest. Or to take. Now listen. Really, the mouth of a man is more important than eating food. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Say what your mouth was said to do. Your mouth is for spiritual things. It's actually for spiritual benefits. That's why he said, be swift to hear and be slow to speak. Your mouth matters a lot. It's not just for eating. It's for your life. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Good. Now, look at your hands here. Your hands were given work. He said you will lay your hands. Now, I would use the word the sick. In diverse ways now. You will lay your hands on the sick. Now, how many of you know that the sick also involves the possessed and the oppressed? Do you know that? Do you know that? Good. So when he says you shall cast out devils, that stands alone. And he now says you will lay hands on the sick. Now, at that point, we will now look at how the sick get healed and how demons are cast out. And you will see that tangible power is involved. Tangible power is involved with the laying on of hands and the casting out of devils. Laying on of hands involves power. You know, somebody was saying one day, he said, there's nothing in my hands. Don't think this, don't think this humility. There's nothing in my hands. Then don't lay it on me. Take your empty hands away. If there was nothing in your hands, Jesus will not ask you to lay them. Listen well. If there was nothing in your mouth, he will not ask you to speak in tongues. It means that this, see, when God says something, he backs it up with power. When he said lay hands on the sick, that instruction is not a gist. It is to point your attention to something. Lay hands on the sick, and the sick should recover. Now, let us revisit something. I said, put your attention on what? On what? Power. Look at Acts 5. We read that yesterday. And by the hands of the apostles, verse 12, were many signs and wonders wrought amongst the people. They were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, and of the rest does no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And the believers were more added to the Lord, mostly both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow them. The shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow them. Now, look here. Think now. I want you to use your mind now, because your mind is sanctified. Look at it. That the shadow of Peter might just overshadow some of them. Now look at 16. And the sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed everyone. Now, please stop right and look here. Mark 5. Look at that story. The woman with the issue of blood moved towards a certain radius with Jesus. Do you know that she did not receive her healing by looking at Jesus? She did not look. Now, how you come? How far can your shadow be from you? You know, it can't be so long, except if you are like a tree. So, it's basically within a certain radius, right? Now, go and sit down. That means it's talking about something near. Now, I submit to you that if the woman with the issue of blood wanted, if her faith was released towards that distance, she would have still been healed. The issue was not the cloth. Neither was the issue the shadow. The issue was power. Power. So when Jesus said, you shall lay hands on the sick, please pay attention. Do you know that nobody has your hands but you? He's not listening to me at all. You don't look like you're following me. Nobody has your hands but you. If he has said that, you shall lay hands. Maybe it was referring to you. Go and take your pastor's hands. Or cut it. He said you shall lay hands. So the issue is about you. Now, take your attention off your mind, off your hands, and just look at you. Peter's shadow will pass by. That is, Peter was moving like this. And within a certain distance, they will bring possessed people. Peter did not say anything. Is someone following me here? Peter did not say a word. That's why I told you, they shall cast out devils. But they can also go further. They will lay hands. The issue is their hand. Now, Peter was going like this. And they now brought sick folks, possessed folks, and they came near Peter. Peter probably was not aware. The same thing with Jesus. And everyone was healed. I'll show you another one. Acts 19:11. Lord, I trust that your eyes are opened in Jesus' name. Because I really want you to understand this, you know. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Notice when he used the hands, he's referring to those people. Now, 12. So that from his body, from who? Were brought unto the sick, handkerchiefs and aprons, and disease went from them, and evil spirits went out of them. Notice that. Do you know something? Do you know the next thing you will read? Please look here. I think I want you to stop writing. The next thing you will read in that story, I want you to be very intelligent, is that some folks now actually saw that. They now went around to say, I adjure you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. It came from those experiences. Because they saw it, that there was something about Paul. He was going like this. Folks just come near him and they would just take, you know, they would just take a cloth, touch his body, and now go to a possessed person, put it there. No words were spoken. Because power is power. If there is no action, there was no power. Are you listening? Now, so the issue was the person. Now, if Jesus says to you, you will lay hands on the sick, and the sick would recover. Take your attention off your hands and look at yourself. That act is only done by power. Now, within a certain distance of the presence of Paul, of the presence of Jesus, of the presence of Peter, demons fled. Sicknesses were healed. It was a function of power. Now, Acts 1:8. You shall receive what? You shall receive what? You know, I told you, I made a decision for you. Not receive the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Who does the receiving of the power? You will have to do that. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, listen. You will discover. Now, you can see Matthew 14:26 to Jesus and then the other folks. That what was now working? These were folks, you know, who normally will lay hands on the sick, I mean, and all that. But at this material point in time, they did not say anything. Jesus, Paul, and Peter. The issue had to do with the words of those who came in contact with them. But if they had come in contact with them, and there was no power available, they would not receive anything. So, when Jesus said you will lay hands, the attention on your mind should be the fact that there is tangible power always with you. Always with you. There is tangible power always with you. Now listen, Always. Tangible power. I'm going to show you something now. Please. Tangible power always with you. Let's go to demons. Because everybody here, when you leave this meeting, you will cast out demons. Casting out demons. I mean, you are going to be doing it. That's where we are going. Now, let's talk about demons. Demons are from the devil, right? Are they from any other person? Do you have any idea that I don't have? That's not in the Bible? Good. Now, what did Jesus say to the devil? Colossians 2:16. He spoke with his presence and power and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Jesus now said in Matthew 28:19, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Why did he say that? Do you need... What is it? All authority in heaven is given to me. And he says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Why did he put your attention on authority? On authority. Why? In Mark 16, he says, in my name. Again, he puts your attention on authority. You will cast out devils. He says, authority. In my name. In Matthew 28, he says, in my name. Also, sorry, given to me. Now, listen carefully. He spoke principalities and power and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So, in spoiling principalities and power, are you listening? Stop right here. Listen. Please. Just listen. And made a show of them openly. In doing that, listen carefully, listen very, very, very intelligently. What Jesus did was to strip the devil of his authority over humanity. Are you listening? Good. Jesus, before then, was casting out devils. Right? He now stripped the devil of authority over humanity. Ephesians 2 now says he gave that authority to the church. What authority? The authority. Now, what authority? Now we're looking at demons. What authority? Jesus cast out devils by the power of God. Matthew 12 was clear. He said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God. So what authority did he give you? Number one, he had already, by his death, he stripped the devil. That is, captivity, that means we are all under the captivity of the devil in the sense of sin and his dominion. Colossians 1:13 says, we have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the dear son. Having done that, listen, that is redemption. That is the gospel. He now says you are going to go and preach this. That there is deliverance by the death of Jesus. He now does this. Which is consistent with what we've been saying. He now confirms that message. As you go, as you say it on the streets, you will cast out devils. That casting out devils is a proof that Jesus died. Are you listening? So the authority is power to use power. Are you listening to me now? The authority is not over the devil. Jesus has stepped in. It is now to chance the devil. Do you understand? That casting out means to chance. The Greek means to expel. Now you expel them, get out. Have you said get out before to somebody? Get out! That's what it means to cast out. It's not, hey, Satan, what are you still doing? How many are you? You are a joker. Casting out means to tell somebody to get out.
Have you done that before? Now, in that saying to get out, he gave you the authority to say get out. The get out is not mere words. The get out is power. That casting is power. That is really, power will be released and the demon will get out. Are you listening? So it's not just mere words. That was what the sons of Sceva lacked. See, with listen to me and listen well. Look at me. Ah. They did not know whether the demons in Acts 19 did not know whether they were Christians or not. That's why they asked the question, who are you? Because there was no power available. Demons don't do that. If they were casting out devils, Mark 16 says they will cast out devils. Simple. There is no gist with devils. It is get out. When you are saying get, you know, when you say get out, somebody says, hey, they take it easy. That means you are talking. Get out. Get out. But as you are saying get out, maybe you have bodyguards. And you just go, wah! That is casting out of devils. What Jesus was saying was this. There is tangible power to get out demons. Your attention should be on the fact that there is power. The name of Jesus is the authority to use the power. Let me see if you are getting this clearly. Do you understand? The issue is power. Power. So the sons of Sceva, the devil does not know. He can't know. How can he know? Ah. Some cause only you're born again. Did they write on whose heads? I'm born again. Or did he get into their spirits to know? Is he everywhere? It was guesswork. Ah, who are you? Where? Who saw? What? No power. So they didn't go out. So when they did not go out, they now asked the question. They had known power. They said, Jesus, we know power. Paul, we are acquainted with power. This one is just talking. So they now did the resume on them. So when folks now heard about that, they were now more convinced that, look, man, that was power. What Paul was doing was not just happenstance. It was power. So casting out of demons. Now, I'm going to put some of you, your attention, those of you who have seen this a couple of times, to power. There is tangible power. Now, some of you have looked at someone possessed, and he said, get out! And the thing just went calm. Do you know you don't spend much time? Have you spent time before? One teach. Let's say doctrine. The Greek word of casting is kastekalo. It means to leave, to fly, to go, out of way, to punch. So what is involved is power. Jesus stripped the devil already and gave authority to the church. But what he did was for us. Now, we now have the authority in the name of Jesus. We have the authority to use power. So there is tangible power. Real power. Not imaginary power. Real power in the casting out of devils. Say tangible power. Is available. Notice Acts 1:8. You shall receive. The word receive in there is lambano. It means to take something. And it's legitimate taking. You know, there's to take, to steal. No. Legitimate taking. Now, please pause. I want to show you something. Two things we have seen about that power. It can be stored. Did we see it? The truth of the matter is, presently it is stored. Are you getting this? It is already stored. If it was not stored, Jesus will not say, cast out devils. The second thing is now, which is where your attention should now be. If it can be stored, it can be transferred. Which is what happened in Acts 19:12. You see, in Acts 5:12, they related with the stored power. Stored with who? Stored with who? Peter. Now, in Acts 19:12, something now happened. They now transferred it. It was as though they took Peter and they took Paul to the sick. Are you following me here? Like they took Paul to the sick. And then the sick recovered. So, on everyone that is anointed of the Holy Spirit, he stores the power of God. And that power can be transferred. Simple. Tangible power. Tangible power. Now, let's follow. He now said, I now want to talk about laying on of hands. This is the essence of teaching. That's why in this conference I'm spending some time more to explain some things to you. Laying on of hands is in degrees and dimensions. Laying on of hands. Do you know what I would do if I were you? Jesus said they will lay hands on the sick. They will lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. That means he points my attention to what? Power on my hands. Right? Now, I will now ask myself a question. Knowledge is in depth of understanding. That power, what else can it do? Is someone following me here? What else can tangible power do? Now, I will show you an example of what ignorance can also do. You know, we looked at, how many of you can see what we taught in the afternoon, 1 Corinthians 12, you remember very well, about coveting the things. Can you remember? Was that a bit clear to you? The gifts, the ministries, and the operations. It's okay. Alright, good. Now, see something. See this. Philip. I want us to study Philip a little bit. You know? Look at Acts 8. No. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Wow. You know, we can learn these things. Do you know? We can learn these things. Hallelujah. Thank God for the spirit of counsel in the house. We can learn these things. You know, you can get better. You can get better at some things. You can actually be an expert. You know, we have experts in IT, experts in this. We can have experts with the power of God. Charles. They said, well, that he was doing using something to heal the sick. So he said, bring anybody, a Christian. He brought the guy. He said, I'll tell you what to do. He said, bring out an arm that's not grown well. He said, I'll tell you what to do. I'll just tell you what is done. So you will do it yourself. They were looking. They put on cameras. He said, just say after me, in the name of Jesus. So. The guy opened his mouth. The hand was going to say, He said, you better stop it. It's going to grow longer. You can actually, so he began to do school divine healing technicians. Why are we taught? We are taught so that we can be experts in this, we can be skillful. You can actually know how to minister the power of God with ease. Hallelujah. Is you not go? Are you getting my point? You can know. This is your realm. Amen. Is our realm. You get it? If it's not your realm, you will not be taught. Teaching empowers you to do something. Now, let me show you something. Let's look at Philip. Now, let's look at Philip. See, somebody can know so much about an area of the operations of the Spirit, and you know another area. You will not. I submit to you that what happened in Acts 10, Peter could not explain it. He worked in it, though, but he could not explain it. You know, he said he could not withstand God as he yet speaketh. The Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word. That means what he was preaching had what? Power. He could have done more in that place. Now, hold on. Don't miss next day. I'm going to teach along these lines better. I mean, I don't have much time here. Much in this area. Amen. The woman says, some people see me six. They say they are waiting. They have funeral. No. Let's see, shall we? Acts 8. They saw about that Philip guy. Look at Acts 8. You know the way, at times, the way scripture is put together, you wonder why the next thing, I mean, almost like the next thing. Look at that Acts 8, Acts 7, Acts 6. They call some guys for natural things. So they came, they were full of the Holy Spirit and all that. Then by Acts 8, one of them, that was supposed to handle food, now went to preach and work miracles. Do you know that God is humorous? God can be very funny. The next thing we now say about the guy was that doing signs and wonders. I thought they just said this one should just attend nobody who, you know, Peter was saying, you know, we won't leave the world of God as our tables. Let's just get here to say, we will give ourselves. You stay with this, we'll give ourselves. And as those guys did well what they were doing, they moved on. So there was no difference between Brother Philip, Brother Stephen, and Apostle Peter. Is somebody following you? The issue with the apostle is diversity. It's not the gifts of the Spirit. Let me tell you the office of the apostle for you. The apostle will teach you to walk in the degree of power he walks in. The difference between you and the apostle is the empowerment he has to teach you and empower you to do it. Is someone following me here? Wow, I think I'll step out from that one. Let me go here. Look at Philip. He now went to Samaria. You know, Philip going to Samaria was seemingly coincidental. He was still doing table serving and all that. But there was no persecution, so they sent everybody out. Only the apostles waited in Jerusalem. Now, he went abroad. Notice something, and this is something you have to be careful to read. Usually we run to verse 5. Are you listening here at all? Now, they said everybody scattered. It was after the death of Stephen, throughout all regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. As for Saul, verse 3, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and healing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they were scattered abroad. They that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching what? So, can you see that? Peter, let me show you something. It's humor. Humor. Can you see that Peter didn't say all the truth by saying, you take care of tables, we will give ourselves to the preaching of the word. The preaching of the word is for everybody. Can you see it? It's humor. Who went everywhere to preach the word? The apostles? Laymen. So, Luke cannot be giving you all the accounts of everybody. So he gave you one of those men. Do you understand that? One of those men that was not an apostle, but on whom the apostles had laid their hands, on whom had listened to the apostles' teaching, now went up Samaria and now preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke. What did Philip do? Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for what happened? Look at 7. Everybody, 7 together. Want to go? So he expelled unclean spirits. Right? Alright. Now, follow me. Know what Philip now did? So thousands now got saved. Philip now called unto who? Jerusalem. He sent a text message. Ah, sir, come, come and lay hands. Philip must have laid hands. Do you know? You know? You know he must have laid hands on the sick. So, that was to the dimension he saw that ministry. He now called for Peter and John. Why did he call for Peter and John? See it. He sent a word to Jerusalem that Samaria received the word of God. I now sent a word to Samaria. I mean to Jerusalem. Verse 14. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they may receive the Holy Ghost. So he sent for Peter and John so that those folks can receive the Holy Ghost. That is, they will begin to function with, you know, tongues and, you know, all the devices of the Holy Spirit. Now, they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. At that point, you will say, well, it's only the apostles. Listen carefully. This was somebody who cast out devils by what? How do you cast out devils? By what? You are sleeping. By what? Power. How can you be hearing things like this and you are sleeping? Are you possessed? By power. Now, so, Philip actually ministered power. But see where knowledge came in. He now called for Peter and John. Who came? Those of us that are coming in a jeep. Hallelujah. Emoji. They are here. They're walking. Peter will have said, silver and gold I have none. Such as I have. Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. Where are they? The thousands. Divide them into groups. Based on Jesus told them. Make some sit down. Make some stand. Philip, good job.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
You mean you had houses, you too?
Yeah.
I said, John, that's it. You mean deaf and dumb? Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. He said, you know, we can't withstand God, John, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. God is, you know, sovereign. I mean, he was not there. Okay. God is such, you know, almighty God. Keep it up, boy. But then, you know, don't forget you're a deacon, right? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The boy was just there. So as we began to minister, and folks began to speak in tongues. You see the Holy Ghost. So look at 18. Simon. Now look at me. When they laid their hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost. Look at 18. And when Simon saw, he saw that through the laying on of hands of the apostles, the Holy Ghost was what? Thank you, Lord. He offered them money. What did he say? Give me also what? Are you with me? That on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Watch verse 20. Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast bought, thought the gift of God may be purchased with money. The gift of God. So, Peter acknowledged that there was a gifting involved. Simon saw ability. Now, do you know that? He's not stupid. This is a guy who was involved in Shango things and all those things. So, he actually saw an ability. He saw something tangible in what they were doing. Now, listen very well. How did Philip cast out devils? Power. What did Peter and John have to have people receive the Holy Ghost? Power. Which power? Wait. You are saying, it's the apostles' power, and so on and so forth. Acts 9. God is humorous. A guy was now called into the office of an apostle. He now sent a certain Ananias. Is somebody following me here? He now sent a certain Ananias. It's humor. So that you won't get indoctrinated with Philip's ignorance. He now sent a certain Ananias. So that he will put his hands on Saul. And he will be filled with the Holy Ghost. Are you there? So how did Ananias get Saul filled with the Holy Ghost? Power. The issue was, Ananias worked to that degree. That's all. Philip stopped with casting out of devils. That's all. But both of them could have done what they were doing together. Because it takes power, this is where I'm going to get someone to talk in tongues. Tangible power. It's power. The issue with the apostle is the diversity. But he that believes, including the apostle, will cast out devils, will lay hands on the sick. At this point, let me see if you understand this very well. So the issue with Philip was knowledge. Or maybe religion, being religious minded. Anyway, it's still sense, it's still knowledge. He now led me to say this. If you are here, and you get people filled with the Holy Ghost, talking about, stand up. Often, I'm not talking about in a miraculous way. You didn't even expect it to happen. Now, sit down. That ministry is power. Look at Acts 19. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, on the 12, the Holy Ghost came on them. And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, look here. When they spoke with tongues and prophesied, what is that? That's the anointing of tongues. Right? They prophesied to who? They must have ministered to Paul. Are you there? They prophesied. By the laying on of hands, if by laying on of hands the Holy Ghost can be given, by the laying on of the same hands, healing is made available. It's the same power. It's just the way we will channel it. The issue about the power of God, listen carefully, is consciousness. And that consciousness is a product of knowledge and insight. What I'm doing now is to put your attention on it. It's consciousness. Now, let me show you something. You know what I'm talking about? Stirring things up. We're talking about coveting the things of God. Let me show you something. In Luke 9, see, religion is terrible. It is very, very terrible. Somebody told me this years ago. I've been teaching on the gifts of the Spirit approximately 15 years. There was a time I was teaching it, and somebody said, well, I hear what you're saying, but the way you are teaching like this, our members will become proud. I didn't get that. I didn't understand what the person was saying until years later. Actually, ignorance apart, some folks actually keep these things for people to know them. Because they think that what makes you pastor is the gifts of healings. No. No. It's not the workings of miracles. No. That's obvious now. Have I not put you through that? No. No. There's more to that than that. There's more to it than that. Things where I've been working on miracles and so on and so forth. I met a guy and he was saying, he had never seen any outstanding miracle. And I've been in the ministry for, he said, 10 years. He has not really been in the ministry. He has heard about the ministry. But in 10 years of ministry, you have never seen a miracle. You have not been in the ministry. And I told him, I said, let me tell you. One of the easiest things for me is to teach you to walk in it. That is my own calling. Do you understand? That is my own calling. It's to teach you to walk in it. Are you getting my point? I said the truth of the matter is this. If a first timer comes to a church I pastor, if he listens very well, he will walk miracles. The issue is not somebody. See, that is where the church world has slipped into. We think, come on, it's anointed. He's anointed. You call disappointed. She's anointed. What the man ought to be doing is to teach us to walk in the power of God. That is the office of the evangelist in the church. All those fivefold will bring us up in the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost and the knowledge of the Word. By the knowledge of the Word. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And the first error that is present today is the fact that we separate ministry from Christianity. The minute you do that, you will cut off the flow of the power of God. You cannot separate ministry from the believer. What is called the believer is ministry. Are you getting me here? What is called believer, born again, is a minister. You can't separate it. Every church ought to be a school of ministry. Every church ought to be a school of ministry. Because that is what the church is about. Let me tell you this. Do you know why we gather every Sunday, every Wednesday? Let me tell you. Look here. You know why we do all these things? It's for just one thing. Soul winning. Nothing more. If you're around program, business, church, you know, you are wasting time. You are wasting. This is why many Christians are not fulfilled. Some folks don't know. Some folks will be, they'll feel uncomfortable where they are. Who's all this? Really? If you don't get out on time, you will also just manage. You will manage. Every church ought to be the school of ministry. That's all. You go to church to learn ministry. Bible school, I told you, is a misnomer. Bible schools exist because many Christians, many churches are not doing their work. Crusades are being done the way they are doing. They are being done. I first heard this from Pastor Chris, I was a bit surprised. How did he say this? They are being done because people are not taught ministry. Crusades are responses to the needs of sinners. Look at, if you look at Acts of the Apostles, you discover that crusades were spontaneous. Did you notice it? They were not, what we call crusades, they were not now on the 16th of November, we are going, hey, now we're shared, Jesus campaign. What's wrong with you? It's really, wow, pastor me. Come and see this great man of God, he's coming. They went everywhere, and one of them was Philip. Is all following me? If do you know that the truth of the matter is that if Peter knew his work very well, he would have sent them on his own. Are you following what I'm saying? I love Peter. Peter knows that. In fact, he wants me to tell you this. If he knew his work very well, he would have sent them. Do you know why there was murmuring in Acts 6:1? They were just gathering. They were gathering. If there was any problem, they would say, go and meet Apostle Peter. So that's why, because they were jobless, they were not complaining about food. But where initiation? You know where Paul came? You know what Paul said about eating food? He said, don't you have houses where you can eat? That's Paul. No. Cry around. Simple. What's it? Neglect of widows. He said, which widow? Oh yeah, let us classify the widows. How old is the widow? 60 years. Is that what the one Paul said? Okay, let's watch you. Have you cared for the saints? Do you pray? That's what Paul said. It was neglected. I said, they are murmuring. But Peter did not know. So he just brought men that was supposed to be taught ministry. Now said he should be handling food.
Let me stop here. Where are you looking? Ah. Ogologo Baba Peter. Peter is happy, I'm telling you. Praise God. Now look at Philip. Who can waste time? Do you know that out of those folks, Elomia had to travel to those who were there? Out of those who have any? Jerusalem, Gino, Jan. So I have a seminar, I have wedding. But if he knew what to do, that would happen. Even that somebody saw Sra, it was because he waited long. That's why he began to think that nonsense. And Peter came, rather than just the guy back, just said, "You full of bitterness, you know, Nato, you're relaxed. You're just a baby Christian now." He said, "No! Whether God now move works, they better pray. Whether God will Jesus died for that too. To thought, oh my God, but God, cool down. That's the table for you. You know? And it was Philip's fault. Who swear by the old Nogere? He was now waiting. Say, hold on, no, hold on. The apostles are coming. Somebody that cast out devils. That is not waiting for the apostles to come and bring their hand. What's in their hand? Jesus said, it's the hands of he that believes. Prayer. Say, have tangible power. I hope what I'm seeing. I hope you are getting this. Is it clear? So if I've been getting filled with the Holy Ghost, move further. The confidence you have to have the Holy Ghost come on a fellow and he speaks in tongues and prophesies is the same boldness you need. It's the same power. It's the same power. Now I said, look at Matthew, Luke 9. There's something about attitude. Luke 9. Do you know your attitude is informed by the kind of information you have? Do you know why some people are looking like this? Bah. Because they are even still on his tongues for everybody. You've gotten it wrong. Okay. It's just not trained. You know, somebody said one day, Pastor, I just want to tell you something. I said, what? The guy was, you know, first he was here. I don't think I have calling. That is confession of sin. So, I don't think I have calling, sir. Really. I just discovered that. I'm just cooking these things up. I just discovered that the desire is not really there. So I don't want to be forcing God. You know, so I just said, let me just, because I'll just be coming, you know, when you see me, I'll just come and go. Idiot. Go beg my word, I'm trained. That's all. How can God have a son and he doesn't want to call him? Just says, go to me. This one is happy he didn't call. He talk bear. He says, then go, Mali Babo, Mali Free. Every child of God is called of God into the work of the ministry. Only that we have some of them, they are deaf and dumb. We have those who have we leak mojibidity. You know, sir. No, sir. Me, I believe. I will do ministry, sir. Don't worry. I mean, in my church, when they say there's any offering, I will offer myself. Sorry, my money. I'll give money. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Look at Luke 9. Jesus sent, he called the 12, the disciples, and gave them power and authority. What did he give them? Power and authority. To do what? Over all devils and to cure diseases. Whenever it comes to demons, power and authority go together. Now, they now went around. Something now happened. They thought it was about them. So one day, you know, as they were taking testimonies, she was Matthew said, so we'll lay hands on you. He said, Levi. He said, yeah, it's great. Peter said, why did people lay hands on? He said, yes, I was possessed, and now I'm repossessed. I said, that's good. And then, you know, I saw a group. He said, which one of us? He said, Judas. He said, who you got? He now mentioned somebody's name. Maybe, Cyril. He said, Cyril. Is that your second name? No, nobody's here. No, it's not one of you. Okay, wait. Maybe it's just Cyril. Okay. What about you? Cyril, sir. Who's deaf now? I can hear. You got Cyril too. That's a Cyril. What's that nonsense? I said, this is tape. I said, in the name of Jesus, the anointed one. What's that nonsense? Was he in the meeting? He said, no fight yet. He said, Peter has brought a sword. He said, no, cool down. So all these young boys, you think they are called of God? Did Jesus call him? Now went back. Master, we saw somebody who was casting out devils in your name. What's that? You know, look at what he said. Master, we saw one casting out devils. Luke 9:49. In your name. And we forbade him. The matter will read any social conference. Because he follows not with us. What's the quality of benefaction? Jesus said, you know, in these days, it was one hireling. And I said, what? No sense. It's all those boys who God did not call. Give him time. He will just fizzle away. Leave him. I don't know him. Say, is he a member of our TFC? Say no. Is he a member of our church? Say no. The zero guy. Let him go. He said, forbid him not. For he that is not against us is for us. So somebody being for them had nothing to do with whether he was there when Jesus said it. It was his consciousness and his attitude to the authority in the name of Jesus and the power of Jesus. So besides the fact that some people knew that to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, they can have power, some folks also knew that anytime, anywhere you call his name, the same tangible power will be available. You can see with the things of God, attitude is key. It is attitude. You can do a journey from now to Jesus will come. Too bad. It is attitude. I hope you have the right attitude. The right attitude. There's consciousness for the power of God. Two important things I know. Number one, prayer. Number two, words of faith. I believe the power of God is working with me now. I believe the power of God is working with me now. I'm anointed of the Holy Spirit. And I walk with power. I'm going to do something now. I saw it before I came. Now, really, okay, hold on. So, we're going to change what Philip did and what Ananias thought. Ananias must have thought that, well, his own is to lay hands on people to receive the Holy Ghost. Yeah, and he was laying hands on an apostle. Philip must have felt his own was just cast out devils and called the apostles to lay hands on those that would receive the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to put the two of them together into the believer. It's not for the apostle. Neither is it for the believer. I mean, for the evangelist. It is for the believer. Jesus said, you will lay hands. That's all. The power that heals the sick is the power that casts out devils, is the power that causes folks to receive the Holy Ghost. Have you seen that? Have you seen that? It is to the degree that you walk in it. That's all. Hallelujah.
It is to the degree that you walk with it. See, I'm committed really to start to teach the things of the Spirit again. Since Kenneth Hagin passed on, Kenneth Hagin, we have not seen much teaching on the things of the Spirit. It is sad. It was obvious after his departure that many people really were not listening to him. It was obvious. Truth of the matter is this. We have a lively backsliding church. People have stopped even believing in the power of God. Christians no longer believe God again. You are sick, believe God for your healing. You know, people no longer believe God. Now I'm committed to teach that. And teach it very, very, very well. Teach it like before. Truth of the matter is this. See, let's stop minoring the majors and majoring on the minors. It is awful the kind of glorification we are giving to the teaching of relationships. The honest truth is this. And listen well. I've said it over and over again. And you know, I said something on Facebook and somebody really didn't like it. I said there's no love in marriage. There's no joy in marriage. There's no feeling in marriage. And he said, you see that? I said, love is in people. Joy is in people. See, if you are not a person of love, you get married, you won't find it there. You'll have a home full of hate. Love is in people, it's not in marriage. Simple. Teach Christians to walk in love. Teach them to be responsible. You'll be responsible husbands and wives. Don't major on the minor. Don't minor on the major things. Teach them to be full of the Holy Ghost. Teach them to win souls. Teach them to be responsible in the church. You will produce responsible husbands and wives. We've majored on the minors. We have now minored on the majors. That is why many of us cannot even flow with the Spirit of God that breathed us into the church. We don't even know Him. Brother Hagin said, if the Holy Ghost were to wear a red hat and cross the street, many people would still not know Him. I trust God your eyes will open to see more of what we are saying. Hallelujah. You don't know anything about the Holy Ghost. How can you not know about the Holy Ghost? As a Christian, have you ever gone anybody to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Say nobody. Have you ever healed the sick? Say nobody. Cast out devils? Nobody. That's even the door. In fact, the gate to the door. The buckler proof to the door. I trust God may arise from this place in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to minister in a way now. Hallelujah. There's an enhancement that's going to happen now. I will actually help you. Because I can. Amen. To move from getting men to talk in tongues to other things. Faculties will open such that you will now begin to have men walk with the anointing upon by just laying hands. Hallelujah. Tangible power is a function of the anointing of the Spirit.